Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday at this time, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators radio network. Darren, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Good morning, gents. How we doing?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Darren, if I told you that heading into this Titans-Patriots game that the Titans would rush for 270 yards and would lose 36-13, what do you think your reaction would have been?
I would say, man, what a great recovery by Derrick Henry to get back out of the field. Awesome. He's back, just like Cam Newton. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. How'd Cam look yesterday?
That looked great.
A little bit. Yeah. He was benched. You know, I think we all would have the same thoughts, right? I mean, New England's defense has been stifling everybody. They look really, really good. Well, because the stats tell us they're really, really good. And if you have that with backup running backs, and oh, by the way, your top running backs out and the best in the league out, then I think everybody would feel pretty good about, you know, the outcome of that game. But you didn't tell me they were going to have four turnovers.
I did not.
Again, you know, you kind of left that part out, and that would have been – and, oh, by the way, have four turnovers. And then I would say, oh, be the same result as the Texans game, a loss. And that's how it played out. I just, by the way, love – because I think I said to you guys last week, you know, listen to Dan Orlovsky, who, you know, I don't have a problem with. You know, I think he's fine. He's good analyst on ESPN. Last week, Dan Orlovsky going, oh, you know, John, I just drew blanks. The Colts running back.
Jonathan
from
Taylor.
Wisconsin. Jeez, Jonathan Taylor, thank you. You know, MVP, like, shut up. Like, stop it. Living in the moment. Today's living in the moment. I knew it the minute I turned away. Just when you guys went to commercial break, just, you know, just turned away. Just went to hear what the national media. Are the Patriots the team to beat in the AFC? They're the team. I knew it was going to be Patriots love fest today. The Chiefs didn't play. They're on a bye week. The Bills played on Thursday night on Thanksgiving, and the Patriots just smoked the Titans. Oh, the Patriots is the road to the Super Bowl through the AFC. Go to through Foxborough. I knew it was going to be today's theme, and sure enough, it was today's theme.
Has there been any Leonard Fournette for MVP talk today?
I haven't really.
You know, I haven't heard that one yet, Joe, but I'm sure it's coming.
Well, you know, the road going through fill in the city in the AFC is an interesting question. Mm-hmm. Where would you guess that would be at this point, Darren? And do you think the Titans, as they stand, two-game losing streak, tons of injuries, still have a chance to be in that discussion?
I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not envious of your all's hours. I've done those hours, and it just doesn't work for me. I'm more of a night person. I was a little bit envious of your jobs this morning because last night my guess is you went to bed early.
Yep.
And the Ravens and Browns gave you every excuse to go to bed early, and I was envious of that because I was really mad that I can't get that time back in my life that I spent watching that, you know, splatter show last night between the Ravens and the Browns. Look, the Ravens keep winning, so at some point – you know, they're winning all these close games, but you do wonder, you know, is this are they just, you know, hanging on, looking over the cliff, and a good wind is going to blow them off the cliff? I don't know. I mean, they always say, well, you know, the mark of a good team is a team in tight games that can win. Well, they keep winning these you know, splatter show games. So right now, I guess you'd have to say Baltimore. But, I mean, I think if we're all being honest, I think – it feels like Kansas City's getting right. Their defense is a whole lot better. And look, as we know, in this league, if you have that guy at quarterback, which unfortunately the Titans don't have, Tannehill is good. He's not great. He's not elite. And when you have that elite quarterback, you know, all bets are off, always. And so with that elite quarterback, I think probably the road today, I would say probably is starting to look like Kansas City again. Can it still be the Titans? I don't know. Was this not the exact conversation, guys, that we were having on the Monday after Derrick Henry went down and the news had come out?
Yep.
Is this not what we feared? Is this not what we were talking about? They're still going to the playoffs. They'll probably still win the division. Oh, by the way, the Colts lost yesterday to the Bucks. They're probably still going to win the division, and they're going to be a playoff team. But is it not starting – is the picture not starting to look like what we were painting back on that Monday? And I hope we're wrong, but, man, it's hard without that guy in the backfield. Look, even when you run for 270, you know who doesn't fumble? Derrick Henry.
Yep.
He doesn't fumble. Those guys do. Hilliard does, okay? Foreman does. You know who doesn't fumble? Derrick Henry. So, you know, I would love to say, Joe, that the road still goes through Nashville, but I'm not sure I believe that. Well, I know I don't believe it. That's why I didn't say it.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, host of Darren Donick and Chase. And Darren, an interesting weekend for the Nashville Predators. They look pretty good against New Jersey. Were great defensively in that game, some timely goals as well. And then you go out to Colorado, and Colorado, they look like the Colorado team that we thought we were going to see to begin the season. What did you make of the weekend for the Predators, and what do you make of kind of the trend for them as of late where you're winning one, losing one, maybe winning one, losing a couple? Where do you think this team is right now?
By the way, I heard your rant, Joe, this morning, and I completely agree. I was a little perplexed on that Friday. I was by myself because the team was leaving, and that was probably a really good thing. So everybody, they were heading straight to the airport. So I didn't bring it up in postgame because I didn't trust myself to bring it up in postgame. I wasn't sure I was going to say it correct because it really, like, booing PK's. What did I miss something? I mean, why are you booing him? What did he do to this market? I was utterly perplexed at the boo birds that were out, and I had several Predators fans come up to me and say they were just as perplexed at how. In fact, I had a couple come up to me and said they said something to the people around them, like, why are you booing PK Subban? I don't understand that. He's gone. He was traded away. He helped them get to the Stanley Cup final. Go back and look at the tape. He was pretty good in that playoff run to the Stanley Cup final. He did a lot of good in this market. Booing him, I'm totally with you, Joe, on that, and I don't understand it. So, Robbie, getting back to your question, this is the quarter pole, right? They're right at it. So their fourth of the season is in the books, and they said here, 11-9-1 and 23 points. I know Mikael Granlund is who you're talking about. He brought that up, like, you know, they got to get out of that business. But, you know, I mean, I kind of feel like when you say, you know, in the inconsistent, this is kind of what they are. I mean, I actually still think they've – the quarter pole, if I was giving them a grade, it's a good solid B. I mean, I think I said B-plus last week at the time, and this was going to be a big week of four games. I think my takeaway right now is a good solid B. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Of course, they're going to have to get on a heater at some point if they want to get in the playoff picture. But, I mean, they're in the thick of things, and, I mean, I think this is kind of what they are. I mean, I don't know. I mean, let's be honest. Let's go back and review what everybody was saying in the predictions before the season. Did I miss the thing about where the Predators are the team to beat? You know, we've had those conversations for years. I don't remember it being this offseason, and the national media certainly wasn't giving them a prayer to be a playoff team. I think they've done just fine. They'll have to be better, obviously. Granlund alluded to that. And if this is what they are the rest of the way, and I hope that this is not what they are the rest of the way, you know, they're going to be a team that's going to finish with what, about 90 points and probably on the outside looking in. I mean, just right there on the outside, which is exactly where they are right now. I mean, do you disagree?
No. I think it's pretty spot on.
Sounds about right. Darren, I wanted to ask you something we talked about quite a bit last week, sparked by Vingan's column about Forsberg. But that situation, and I guess, one, what you think of his opinion that, you know, the Predators absolutely should be looking to trade him, and just where do you think that's going? What do you think about it?
Boy, it's a great question, isn't it? This is another one where I'm not envious of someone's job. I'm certainly not envious of David Poile because he's going to have to make a tough decision at some point, unless there's a miraculous turnaround in negotiations, because it doesn't look like there's anything imminent, anything close to being finalized. It felt that way. It felt different with Matthias Ekholm, and it played out that way. It doesn't feel that way with Philip Forsberg. The good news is he's still got a long time to figure all this out because the trade deadline is what, Robbie? March 21st? I think third week in March. It's a good ways away. Okay, so
it is March 21st. You are correct.
Yeah. So I mean, they got a long ways to go on figuring this out. As for Adam Vinken's article, I mean, look, it's Joe. It's hard for me to sit here, even though you know I'm pro Philip Forsberg. I love what he brings to the table, night in and night out. I've also been the guy that has been saying on these airwaves for a good while the Predators need to get out of the business of 7 and 8 year max contracts. So it would be a little bit phony, although I did say you got to give it to Roman Josi. But, they need to get out of the business of max contracts, and it would be another max deal if they sign him. I mean, it's going to be an 8-year deal, and, for what amount of money, I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting. I had a conversation with the guy who covers the Avalanche on Saturday in pregame, and I asked him about the Landeskog contract, and he said, Landeskog means a lot to the market. He means a lot to the room. There's value to that. He said, but quite honestly, there's no way, they would have paid a dollar more than what they did. He said, still, they probably overpaid for him, and they gave him, I think, 8 years, $7 million per, so an 8-year, $56 million deal. And he said, as much as he means, as much as it's all good, it's probably still a little bit overvalued contract. Are you getting Philip Forsberg 8 years, seven per? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you can pull that off. And if you could, does that change the conversation? I don't know. It may change it a little bit for me. I'm not positive. I don't know. What about you guys? If I could tell you they could get the Landeskog deal for Forsberg, does that change anything? Because a lot of people think he's going to get a lot more than that. But I don't know if I buy that.
The term is what bothers me about that.
The term bothers me. The dollar amount's about near the top end of where I'd be willing to go. Like, I hear you, and I do think if he got to open market, he could probably get close to $8 million per year.
It only takes one team.
And you're going to get overpaid if you get to the market. That's just the way it is most of the time. I don't know if I can do that if I'm David Poile and the Predators.
Yeah, and so then there lies the question. If you don't think it's going to happen by March 21st, if you don't think this is going to happen in the offseason, then you've got really, then what do you do? I mean, you can't – I guess you could say, well, where are they in the standings? And, that could make things really interesting. Okay, what if it's right where they are now? What if they're right there on the cusp? Or what if they're just on the inside?
Which one of those two places is probably where they're going to be, by the way.
Right. It's not going to be easy, right? It's not going to be the top of the standings. It's not going to be at the bottom of the standings. What if it's right in the middle? What if they're just in? What if they're just out? It's going to make things incredibly difficult to make that decision then. But if you don't know 100% or pretty close to 100% what direction this is going, as in it's going to happen, I don't know. How can you take the chance that Forsberg could get away for nothing? There'd probably be quite the backlash if that were the case.
Yep, that would be a tough pill to swallow, no question about it. Darren McFarland joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock here on Robbie and Rexroad. You can check him out at 10, starting in about 45 minutes on Darren Donick and Chase. Darren, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Enjoyed it as always. Thanks.
Absolutely. Buddy. Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Darren had to say there. Get back into the Titans as well. Your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, more impressive coaching performance yesterday. Bill Belichick with the White Hanes t-shirt and the coat over the top of it, or Mike Vrabel on the challenge flag toss, which may be the best throw of the day for the Titans yesterday. Who are you taking?
Okay, the Vrabel or the what?
Or Belichick in the white t-shirt coat look that he had. Like, he just strolled out of Walmart and threw on a Patriots coat over the top of it.
I do have to give Belichick credit. Like, he has, obviously, he had that torn up, like, sweatshirt he always wore, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, so, like, is that just like dirty and you've worn it since Tuesday, or did you like smear mustard on it before the game?
The vintage look.
Yeah, but I mean, like, so I give him credit.
He kind of classed it up a little bit for this one.
I mean, that's a look I've never seen. The open jacket with the
white t-shirt.
Yellow pit having white teeth. I don't know about the pit. That's just my speculation.
But yeah.
Yeah. Just, I don't know, man. But I will say, I give Rabe a lot of style points on the spiking of the
that was good.
Of the challenge flag. Because, I mean, before that, too, Rabe was kind of laughing. Yeah. And he was kind of like, really?
No one's going to change this call?
Anyone? Anyone? No? Huh? Huh? And he, yeah. So. I like that. I thought maybe there might be a fine worthy comment coming afterward, but no.
No. But hey, can you imagine if that game comes down to like a review and the Titans are out of challenges because you had to throw a challenge flag on that crap? Be quite something.
Man. That was pure incompetence.
It was. How concerned are you at this point about Randy Bullock? We've talked about him a little bit today. He misses an extra point yesterday off the upright. Misses a field goal as well off the upright. So you're talking about a missed field goal and two missed extra points in the last 2 weeks. Your concern level at this point with Randy Bullock, what do you think the Titans' concern level is with him in terms of balancing what he's done so far this year and his performance over the last couple of weeks?
I mean, I think it's definitely – it sets up for a really important day for him against Jacksonville. He's done a lot of good things this year, much more good than bad. It's just, you know, when you still basically are employing a journeyman kicker, a lot of times those guys will have 6, 8, 10 good weeks with the team, and then, okay, so this is why it's a journeyman kicker and not one of the 20, 22 guys who have long-term jobs in the league. So I would say to Randy Bullock, you know, like, this is a very important next game. And he has to sit and stew on it. You know, I'm sure everybody here is enjoying the
wow. That almost
Joe. The off week.
Oh. Almost said bye week.
Oh, I would this is, see when I do that next time I need to
thank see. You for actually
that was sheer
yourself.
Panic in his voice. But
anyway, I think everyone else is big on being off this week, but Randy Bullock would probably really like to have a game right away. You know?
Yeah, probably so.
It's like when you have a bad performance as a team or as an individual and you want to get back out there as quickly as possible. Now he's got to stew on this for a couple weeks, and you can make all the kicks and practice you want, but it's a big day for him because, like, if he misses, like, an extra point against the Jags or even, like, a chip shot field goal, then I think the wheels start turning a little bit. Sam Ficken was very good. By the way, Sam Ficken, you know, he is on their, you know, IR list right now. So I don't even know what the possibility is there. Is Tucker McCann completely unaffiliated right now with an NFL team?
I believe so, but I will double check on that. Yeah, he is a free agent.
I mean, look, they were – that's what's so weird about this whole situation is, like, they clearly invested in him, and he was paying off. Like, he was rewarding their investment with the way he was kicking in practice and the way he kicked in that first preseason game before he got hurt. And I don't know his injury situation either. But there's two guys who, if healthy, could quickly come in here for Bullock if he falters more.
Well, hey, Stephen Guskowski was at the game yesterday, according to the broadcast. Ian Eagle and Charles Davis said Guskowski was in the house. What do you think of that? Watching his two former teams go at it.
So that's why Bullock missed those kicks.
Maybe so.
He had a little, like,
little back pressure.
Voodoo doll in the stands. Well, he still lives. He's still a couple miles away, right?
I mean, I guess. I don't know if he's packed up and gone elsewhere or what at this point.
I just, you know, I think Randy Bullock, it's, I mean, they're weeks and weeks. We have gone weeks at times. I mean, early on we talked about him a lot, right? Like, hey,
yeah,
is this guy actually working out? And then we went, you know, some time without even mentioning him, which is like just like you want as a long snapper too.
Yeah.
And an official. You don't want people to say your name, you know? But I'd say there's a little bit of concern there. There has to be. And he needs a bounce back.
I think concern is fair. I would caution against the people that just all of a sudden want to boot him out the door. Let's give it a little bit of time.
So let's say he has the same thing. He, you know, maybe makes a couple kicks, but he misses an extra point and like a, you know, a 40, low 40s field goal. What's your call then?
You're starting to have a conversation. Like, I think he's played well enough.
Welcome back in, Robbie
part.
And Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank.
Visit ballstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Remember, FDIC
equal housing.
It's also, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex,
especially
Michelle
with the roster
Kinesivic
situation
here
they're in
right
now
on this Monday morning.
Like, you're
going to
need every point you get.
The Titans fall yesterday to the Patriots, 36-13. The final score. And Joe Rex Road with all the action.
I'd also like to point out,
in the AFC,
not every kicker. You're not
going
to have a perfect season.
I'm sure game we're all looking forward to.
I also feel like
Seattle,
there's a little bit of every
Washington
time a Titans kicker missed Monday Night
Football,
here,
but the AFC
were willing to kick him
part
out
of the
door.
Equation is complete for
that's
the week.
Not the way the NFL
the Ravens,
works.
In that barn burner last night against the Browns, they hold
then
on for the win.
But if it
they
starts to become
to 8-3, the Baltimore
the
Ravens, the number
changes
one seat at the moment.
Well, right, but again,
AFC,
that's the difference between
win
like
yesterday,
Bullock and like if this was
they jump ahead of the Titans, they're at number two in the AFC right now.
He's got such a long
sitting at number three at 8-4. They've lost two games in a row. So
I know.
Began play yesterday as the one seat.
Of all the moves they made,
closeout play yesterday as
the say like Santos
in the AFC.
Was,
this is going to be
I guess you could
quite
say
the
that
interesting
was
race coming down
he's
the stretch.
Really good.
And honestly,
I mean, he's 16-for-19
this
year.
I kind of tend to agree with Darren, who we had earlier
Bears
on in the show. I think after everything said and done,
that I really
it may end up being Kansas City.
Up.
That's yeah the number one seed in the AFC. After everything.
This. Yeah.
Not going to ride through the uprights.
They are the flavor of the week. Although now the Patriots.
Josh on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Titans responded from a 5-turnover game.
I feel like if the Titans and Patriots
maybe a little trend in the right direction for the
Titans. There you go. Positive trend.
Cut that sucker down to three.
3/4 of key guys back. I'd like the Titans change.
Maybe
I don't think the Patriots are the best
maybe
in the AFC.
Maybe.
No. And I think
I got a text that
Patriots
says the kicker is not why we lost this game.
Might be
that
about to figure
nope
that out.
I
won't say
when
they
is
play the Bills.
But
two of their next
the
kicker,
games
do you feel good about the kicker?
The Bills
going
and
the rest
sandwich
of the way
around a game at
last five games.
Of course, who knows what in the world the Bills are going to
well
do.
Well, that's true.
And
I mean, that's the thing. You
this
can
is
take
silly
any
stop
one of these teams and say, are you sure they're
with
this or that?
Well,
I'm sure they're really good. Really?
Well,
how about
yeah, we just,
this?
I mean, Sam Ficken
and
Tucker
Cincinnati
McCann
Bengals right now are 7-4.
That would depend on
beat
their
the Steelers
status.
41-10.
But the week before that,
either of them could be the answer.
They were here.
They were the Titans' choices before Randy Bullock.
Same Raiders who
had to be brought in because Ficken got hurt. Who got the
2 weeks before that,
they
got
beat 41-16 by the Browns team
that
I swear couldn't possibly put 20 points on a scoreboard against
Miami
anybody based on
it's
last
been proven
night
now that he was entirely a mirage.
Yep. Oh, and the week
Derek
before
Henry
that, they beat the Ravens 41-17. So, hey, who knows?
By Derrick Henry.
Bengals might be the dark horse team to make a run. And
you know,
the interesting
the
thing
playoffs
about that, I mean,
there's
the AFC
no question
West
that Tannehill
yeah, I agree.
Benefited
the Chiefs
from Derrick Henry.
Any quarterback
probably the most likely
benefited
team
from play
to emerge
action,
because
they know their quarterback,
benefits
we know their coach,
from to AJ Brown,
we know their skill
from having
guys
good protection before this.
Right now, they have a one-game lead over everybody else in their division.
He also, I mean, he was
a what a blown opportunity yesterday.
I think at one point
this
year, they had blown opportunities left and right lately.
They were a darling,
late
not
game
long ago,
tying or
where are they
go
now
ahead drives.
I'm looking at the Chiefs.
You know what,
you know what
was the
you
case
know
with a
I
lot
mean,
of
the
those
Broncos
drives,
who I just discount.
22 sitting on the sideline. I mean,
like no matter what they do,
with
the
third down
back
like,
in the game.
Yeah, they're not.
I mean,
good.
Let's
Bridgewater.
Let's
fine
be a little
decent
bit reasonable
defense,
with
hey,
Tannehill, even if
here
you don't
they are,
love him.
They got the
Chiefs. Someone else.
You're
Monday
absolutely
night,
right.
Is that Monday night,
right
or is that
you're
I
absolutely wrong?
No, no.
That he's
I'm sorry. That's the Sunday night
that
game
the, coming up.
The performance
the
he's gave
have
you
to
in
go
19 and
to play
20
the Chargers.
Was all
I mean,
fluff.
The Raiders,
I mean, it
Chiefs.
Was
is
not,
a,
it was
it's
not
a lot of division.
We'll
play
continue the conversation on
they
the Titans, including where they fit into the picture now,
and
what is an ever-changing AFC on a week-by-week basis. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. and again, I'm not saying they're going to do it. I wouldn't pick them to do it. But if the Titans win out, they're going to be the one seed. If they go 4-1, they might be the one seed. We know for a fact if they go 3-2 that they will win the AFC South, even if the Colts go 5-0 the rest of their schedule. And by the way, the Colts still have some juicy games. They've got, they get to go to Houston, but they've got the Pats, and then they go to the Cardinals, and then who knows what the Raiders. So the Colts aren't probably going to win out. Even if they do, can the Titans go 3-2, win the division, get a home game in the playoffs? Man, it would be a huge disappointment for them not to do that. That's about what I would pick them to do right now.
Yeah, I think so. And look, from the Ravens standpoint, I mean, Lamar Jackson threw 4 picks last night. They end up winning the game against the Browns. They're 8-3. You know, we kind of talked about their schedule last week. I feel a little bit differently about their schedule right now based on what we saw from Pittsburgh yesterday, which was just a complete no-show in Cincy.
But and doesn't that make you feel a little different about the Titans?
Exactly. And you've got the Browns as well, another time for the Ravens. And then the Packers, the Bengals, a Rams team that right now is spinning their wheels. We'll see what – it looks to me like Stafford's hurt. Like, some of the throws he had yesterday, they're just so far off, and I'm like, he can't be healthy. I mean, he missed – I think it was Cooper Kupp he missed on a crossing route by, like, literally 5 yards.
Yeah,
and I was like, what's going on?
Sailing some passes weirdly. But couldn't you see that team going in there, like Aaron Donald just wrecking the game and Stafford throwing for 300 and then just blowing the Ravens out?
Yeah.
I could.
I say that to say, like, I watched the Ravens play, and I've watched the Ravens a lot this year. They're 8-3. I still don't think they're very good. Like, I mean, they're – don't get me wrong, they're good. But it feels like Lamar Jackson – last night, notwithstanding, in that crap fest against the Browns, he has to be sensational for them to win. And sometimes this year he has been, sometimes he's not. But I don't know what to make of the AFC North right now, man. It's crazy.
What did D-Mac call it? A splatter show?
Splatter show.
I've never heard that one before. What does that mean exactly?
Well, I think I know what it means.
Is this something you have to tell me off air?
Yeah, probably so.
Wow. Okay. So. I'm intrigued. Splatter show. I'm thinking like slasher flick or something. Anyway, yeah, man, it's I mean, this – so the entire NFL, look at the standings right now. By my count, because I'm going to give, you know, the awful NFC East teams the benefit of the doubt because who – I mean, that – you know, the Cowboys are going to win. But, I mean, the seventh spot in the NFC is very possibly going to go to a team with a losing record. There are, I think, 28 of the 32 teams still have some level of realistic playoff hopes, which is exactly – it's the NFL's dream.
Yeah.
Most of your markets still have some kind of hope. But, I mean, in the AFC, you got – I mean, obviously, rule out Texans, Jaguars, Jets. You can't rule anybody else out, including the Dolphins, just because they've won 4 in a row to get back to 5-7. And, you know, Jalen Waddle is looking like a stud for them. Their defense is figuring it out. They beat the Ravens in that stretch.
I think Tua was 25 of 28 yesterday.
So,
meanwhile, Cam Newton in the same game was 5 of 21.
Unbelievable.
Quite the difference yesterday.
So, like, there's a game that's starting to look a little tougher here, January 2nd. But that's the thing. The Steelers game may look easier because they've been playing terrible. But, you know, on that day, the Steelers might just rise up and just – send the Titans back to Nashville with a 20-point. I mean, it's every possible scenario in these games is wide open to me like I can't recall.
Well, most people, based on the way the last 2 weeks have gone, have totally dismissed the idea of the Titans having the one seed now. And look,
I
wouldn't pick them to have the one seed at this point based on what we've seen. But here they are. They're 8-4. There's not really a great team in the AFC this year. There's just not. I mean, they've got a lot of really good teams. But every team in the top part of these standings, they've got some warts. I know the Patriots have won 6 games in a row, and their point differential is like plus 146 or whatever it was. But I agree with you. Like, I watched them play yesterday, and I was like, okay, they're a good team. I don't get the sense that, like, the New England Patriots with Mac Jones at quarterback are some overwhelming force that nobody's going to be able to figure out. So it's been rough last couple of weeks for the Titans. They're still not out of that conversation. Got to get healthy, though.
I mean, Mac Jones yesterday, so he had very good numbers, right? He threw for 23 for 32, 310. And, I mean, so many of those yards. Very nice screen game. They got the Titans a few times. You got the Bourne touchdown. That just, you know, he goes on the sideline.
Thought
the Titans,
it was two-hand touch.
Yeah, Titans just decide not to tackle him. I mean, he didn't throw it downfield much. And actually, he didn't throw it that well when he did throw it downfield. They had some guys right open in the middle of the field against some of the Titans' zone looks. I mean, but I wasn't – I mean, he's fine. He's good. He's a good rookie – very good rookie quarterback. I don't think they're one of the top contenders. I think the team you said earlier, probably the Chiefs. And, again, Titans know that they beat them 27-3 playing a great football game with everything working on both sides of the ball. That's how good the Titans could be.
Just want to point out that I'm ever since I gave the funeral to the Chiefs and to the Bills, they're both undefeated. So who would you like me to give it to next?
Well, Titans
Chargers.
Titans fans would like you to say they're going to finish 8-9. If you could say
that, I gave it to the Titans. Maybe.
Yeah, you could do that. Chargers.
Titans are done.
Who's the vogue team to just to shovel dirt on now?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the Titans. Good. They're in the
running
of them.
Yeah.
The Browns.
What's I think they the might Browns? Actually be done.
What's up with them?
Quarterback, man. He's hurt. Can't throw the ball.
Well, I hope Conklin's okay, too, by the way.
Yeah.
He goes out last night after he finally comes back. Oh, the dislocated elbow, and now it's a – I haven't heard the latest, but
it's a knee injury.
It's a leg. Yeah. It's a knee. Ugh, brutal. But, yeah, I mean, that's a team that I still think is low. Certainly, like on D, they look great last night.
Ron texting in, is there a team in the NFL that's gangbusters, like the whole league? Who's the best team in the league? I mean, Arizona's 9-2. They didn't play this week. Looks like Kyler Murray's back.
I got to go with your team because they gave a couple deep shots yesterday to the Rams. But, boy, I like how they get up to the quarterback. And I like how they can run the ball with Dylan and
Jones.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, A.J. Dylan and Aaron Jones.
Yeah, Dylan and Jones. Yeah. And their quarterback's all right. I mean, they went and beat the Cardinals with injuries on the road. I thought that was a little bit of a statement. And you know, last year I thought they were actually going to win it. Brady got them. I think this might be your guy's year because that would be my pick as the top team right now.
It's interesting, and yet here Tom Brady is just sitting there.
Yeah, they
didn't look great yesterday.
No, they were really getting handled in that game, and turnovers change it. I mean, turnovers, you know, strip sack of Wentz, and honestly, the pick Wentz threw was a great play. I don't mind the throw to Pittman.
Great play by Winfield.
Winfield is, you know, what, 8 inches shorter than Pittman or whatever, but great. It was a great play, and then, you know, the Bucs ran the ball like crazy. I mean, Jonathan Taylor had 83 yards, by the way, so are we done with the MVP talk with Jonathan Taylor? Is that it?
Probably ought to put that by the way.
God.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also get into a wild weekend of college football and a tough one last night for Nashville SC as well. That on the other side, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road, you got a Twitter question.
Tommy Two-Tone jamming. Now that's a great one-hit wonder, Tommy Two-Tone.
Yeah.
Jerry Jordan at Gerald Jordan on Twitter says, can you contrast the roster of the Titans when we beat the Rams versus who tends in the field against the Patriots? I said, here's four names for you. A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Bud Dupree, David Long.
Yep.
I mean, just those four names, you think about the difference in a football team with and without. Yes, that game, they didn't have first game without Derrick Henry, so you're like, what in the heck is going to go on here? And they didn't have a run game. But those two receivers totally change how you're defended, what you can do, and obviously, you know, Dupree didn't have a great game that night, but he had the key play on the bootleg on fourth down. And obviously, I mean, David Long Jr., shoot, the guy.
Could have used him yesterday.
Made the huge interception, but he's just all over the field making play. They are different defensively with him. That would be a big return to get him back. He's hammy, right? Another hammy guy? I mean, I just assume everybody's hammy, but there's so many I can't keep track of it. Get that hammy healthy. Get Harold Landry's hammy healthy. Get Julio Jones's hammy healthy. Who else?
Sam Ficken. Who knows what he has? Harold Landry. Who knows? Just keep going down the list.
I mean, there's three for sure that are hamstrings, and there's a couple others, but they could be a lot different looking team against the Jags a week from Sunday.
Lincoln Riley has arrived in L.A. The plane has landed. He's off the plane. He's got some nice USC Trojan shoes on. Lincoln Riley, head coach of the USC Trojans. Interesting stuff.
What a weekend.
What a weekend in college football it was.
Did we get – so we have – you got Napier to LSU. You got
Napier to Florida.
Oh, yeah. My God, that's right. I wonder if – by the way, would LSU have considered him? He's at Louisiana.
Maybe, yeah.
Is that
I'm really interested to see who they're going to get now.
Is that one of those things where if you're LSU, you're like, well, we can't hire the guy from Louisiana.
But you can.
You can. Yeah, the LSU job is fascinating. I have no idea.
Maybe it's
it
the Lane
made sense
train.
To try him. Would Lane do that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If LSU offered him the job, yes, Lane Kiffin would take it.
Would Lane go to Miami?
Maybe. But, like, honestly, I know the reaction to this is going to be yes. But is Miami really that much of a better job right now than Ole Miss is?
Yeah, I mean, I think the better part of it is a little bit of Lincoln Riley's move is, well, you can
get out of the SEC.
You can win your division and be in your championship game a lot. And then that gives you access to the playoff. And you got, like, over under 1.5 losses less a year just because you're in that. And it might be better than that, actually. That's why it is. It's also, I mean, it's Miami. There's different, you know, Miami, it's tough with the fans there, really. I mean, that's one of the big things that's hard there is getting people excited to come to. But, boy, I mean, do you think Lane Kiffin could get people excited? And do you think he knows he can get people excited and get recruits and your access to incredible talent there?
Yeah. I mean, they've basically been a 7-5, 8-4 program since 2005.
Years.
Like, that's what they've been.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting job because everybody keeps waiting for the U to come back, and I don't know. Maybe Lane Kiffin's the guy to bring it back, but they've tried a few coaches since then. It's not going all that well.
But I think, for sure, and all that's fair, I do think with him, I think if they threw a big – I mean, that's –
yeah.
I think he'd do it.
I think
but you're right, LSU, Oklahoma for sure. And who the heck is Oklahoma going to get? It's not going to be Josh Heupel. I'm pretty confident.
There are Tennessee
folks.
Fans, even right now, as we speak on Twitter, panicking that Josh Heupel's about to go to Oklahoma.
Right, and it's because people, every single person who covers Oklahoma has a list out, and every single one of them has Josh Heupel, I'm sure, right? Yep. It makes sense. It makes sense. Throw it out there. Great quarterback there and all that stuff. Didn't end on good terms. Definitely not on good terms with Bob Stoops.
Nope.
Not on good terms with some people who are still there. And look, where on Oklahoma's list do you think Josh Heupel would be right now?
I'm sure he's on it, but I would have to think it's pretty significantly down the list.
Like, it's not high.
Josh Heupel did a really good job this year with Tennessee based on the circumstances. You're still talking about a 7-5 head coach, and you're talking about a guy at UCF that the record was going the wrong way. So I like Josh Heupel. He's been way better this year than I thought he would be. I don't know that Josh Heupel has done enough to warrant legitimate consideration for the Oklahoma job.
I mean, if it gets to that, it's down the list a bit. And maybe that gets there.
Maybe it's Bob Stoops. Apparently he's coaching the bowl game.
I mean, how old is Bob Stoops? I mean, he's not that old.
He's not that old.
Brothers with the Mark Stoops.
Maybe it's Mark Stoops.
Oh.
We could have a little SEC brother action.
Are you worried about your coach leaving, by the way, for some of the one of these?
No,
I've heard
no,
LSU
no.
through him.
Here's the thing. Kentucky knows the value of him. They're going to offer him a big contract soon. It's just waiting.
But he can get a big contract anywhere. It's about where can you win.
What if LSU offers him a big contract and he's like, okay, I can win natties here?
I will cry. That's what if. Okay?
I feel bad that we've wasted so much of this show without really getting into your fear of this.
But
we have tomorrow.
Bob Stoops only 61 years old.
I mean.
He's a spring chicken.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Nick Saban's going to coach till he's 97. So get back in there, Bob.
The true Pharaoh, Nick Saban.
Dance,
get out of the way, Brady.
Dancing it up. after his offense finally scored a point on Derek Mason's
defense. Very quickly, your favorite game from Saturday. What was the most intriguing game to you? Michigan-Ohio State, the Iron Bowl.
I was blown away by Michigan-Ohio State, but it was the Iron Bowl. What an incredible game. Heartbreaking for Auburn, but also that it does bring up the two-point thing. We got to change it. Go back.
Then a tough one last night for Nashville SC. Those penalty kicks hurt. Hurt to watch last night.
Such a great season, and it stinks that that's the last thing you see from that team.
Yep.
Which could have been right there to win this thing.
Yep. Really good.
Really good team. Really good season.
That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.